Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Candace is preaching today, so give it up for Candace.
So fun. Happy Palm Sunday. I love Easter. I mean, I love Jesus. So you're like, oh, this is where it all gets really good. But Palm Sunday, you know, they're laying down palm branches, cloaks, welcoming Jesus. And today I want to talk about just what it looks like for us to welcome Jesus in our lives. I'm very practical. I love big ideas. I love theories. But I love the real. It's like when the rubber meets the road type stuff. So that's what today I want to kind of encourage us and stir up our hunger. But also, I have an invitation as well. So 18 inches. I want you to think about that. I don't know if you are like my husband, that in any space that he goes into, he has this gift that he can look at spaces and pretty accurately give you an estimate of how far the distance is, like from that side of the room to this side of the room. You ask Eric and he can give you that. If you don't have that gift, 18 inches is 8 golf balls lined up. It is average large size pizza. They also say it's one of the hardest journeys from 18 inches from your head to your heart. From where you understand, you can understand knowledge in your head, but grasp it with your heart. It's the 18 inches between thinking and feeling. And we know that our heart is really important. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for from it flows the issues of life. So this morning I want to talk about, or from it flows, all the things of life. I want to talk about the things in our heart. We know that our mind is important, and it's how we understand truth. It's how we understand even scriptures. But it's really with our heart that we experience all of who he is and all that it says. And for where God has, I think God is calling us into places. We have dreams of who we want to become, but to step into those spaces, there's a wholeheartedness that we need to step into. I believe that there's places that we need to grow in, and we're really good at worshiping God when the music is on. That's the easiest time. This band behind us. Give our all to the Lord. Jesus, have it all. I love those anthems. But I know where God's calling us. We need to get to a place where we don't just know about God's love in our mind and could say, oh, I hear that and I read that. But I actually don't know what it feels like for my heart to be drenched in love, for every part of my story to know what it means to be covered in his love. And I feel like as God's pouring out his spirit, we have choices and opportunity to receive more and more than we ever have before because God's a provider. It's his nature. So he's just continuing to provide and continuing to pour out. He's very gracious. And one of the biggest things we get to steward in life is choice. So we get to choose what we partner with, what we say yes to. And so it's easy to say yes in one environment, but what if we were so wholehearted that we said yes to God in every single part of our story? In every single part of our journey and heart, whether it was stuff from your childhood, stuff from a hard family member, stuff from a challenging situation, or something that's really beautiful that we were able to say yes to God in every situation. So today my hope is to stir up hunger for more of God, for more of his Holy Spirit, but also to inspire us to receive God in every single place of our heart, every single part of our story. So thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you are the great God, and there's nothing like your love. Thank you for your love that is so extravagant. It's not just to be understood in our mind, but it's actually to be received in our heart, to be felt, to be lived out. Yeah, I just invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room, and I ask that you would come and have your way. Yeah, inside of us, I pray that today would be a day of integration. That how we know you in one way, Lord, would be in every place. Yeah, so we give this time to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See, God's love is like a fire to me. And I'm like, I want to build my life around the fire. Every time we come to church, I'm like, we're gathering around the fire of God's love. But I don't just want to gather around it. I actually want it to be inside of me, to consume me, to be so consumed that it shapes, forms me, and matures me. What would it look like if we actually were mature in love? That it wasn't just something I accepted Jesus and I found love like never before. What if it actually began to shape us and to form us and rearrange the things in our lives? I believe there's a reorientating as we grow in his love. Like how we knew him originally is one thing, but then as we get closer and he comes and takes his place in wholeness throughout our lives and our story, that things begin to rearrange and get reorientated in our lives. We start looking different. We start smelling different. We start acting different. Inside of our home, outside of our home, at our job, when we're happy and when we're sad, because we know what love looks like. We have so many things coming at us that I want to encourage us in the space of temptation and the space of sin to not give the devil a foothold. One of the biggest things we have to choose is our choice and what we partner with. I believe that today is a day of cleaning out and a day of clearing. Clearing out the clutter. Can anyone use a little bit of spring cleaning in their inside? I'm like, hello. Let's not miss the opportunity. There's no better time than the present. We don't want to be the people that say, I'll start my diet tomorrow. It's today. Today we say yes to you, Lord. And there's something about God's love. When we experience it, we're never the same. And so I always love to be aware of God, when have I experienced your love? Even I want you now to think about it. When have and where have you experienced God's love? I'm not going to ask you just in your mind. Sometimes it could be through a person. It could be in a situation. It could just be in his presence, in his faithfulness, in his provision. God is always loving on us. Are we aware of when he's loving on us? This morning, I believe, is a time of stepping in, opening up our hearts and experiencing intentionally, saying, I choose you, Lord, but also a time to examine. Examine, have I let God love on every part of me? Secondly, are there places that I still need to surrender to you? Because for us to be wholehearted and where God's calling us, we need to grow and mature. We're on a journey. I mean, it's a journey to wholeness, reconciliation, healing. And can we give God everything? Because love is crazy. Like, have you ever really experienced what it is to be completely enamored in love? When I first met Eric, have you ever had a love interest? You know, whenever there's love, there's always more time. We were in college. I was working 25 hours a week. I was going to school full time and worked. I did a ministry on the weekends. So I was very busy. But when I met Eric, there was just a lot more time in my life. I realized I could live on 2 to 4 hours of sleep a night because there's always time for the things that you love. And especially when you're in love, it's so powerful because we're willing to do things that we wouldn't be willing to do if we weren't in love. And I tell you this, church, because do you know what you're in love with? What has your passion in your heart? Because it should dictate your life. I even think about as we began dating, we were we lived in Santa Cruz, and over a little mountain was the city of San Jose. And the thing about mountains is they're really easy to orientate yourself because they're like a landmark. They're high, and usually you can see them in Greenville. There's so many trees. You don't always see the mountains, depending on where you're at. But where we're at in California, you could see there is the mountains that you go. One side's the coast. One side is not the coast. Super easy. You know, and Eric would say that he also has a gift of or a skill that he always knows where north is. So he's not someone that's easy to get disorientated, as well as I'm pretty good with directions, and it's usually not an issue for me. But on one of our dates, we went over the mountain off the coast to go to dinner. We were having such a good time and enjoying and really just giving ourselves to this place of like, gosh, well, I'm going to open up my heart and receive and give. It's so fun. And we were definitely just enjoying it all. And we leave the dinner spot and we're driving, having fun, laughing. You know, when you're dating and everything is funny, even if it's not funny, it's just funny, right? And we're driving and it's only a half an hour from the dinner spot to our dorms and we were going to school. But we're driving and driving and the half an hour passes and we never hit any mountains because we were going the opposite direction. Yes, the man who knows where north is always. We were going in the opposite direction, and it was really embarrassing. A half an hour later, we're like, ha, 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 wait, where are we? And it says directions the opposite direction. Oh, wow. We're really far from, we went the wrong way. The mountain everyone can see is like way back there, but we are not aware of anything else because we are just enamored in this space of like, ooh, I get to be with you. But what's crazy, it tells you a little bit about love. And I just want to say that God is love. And what he's calling us into is, it wasn't just this, oh, just read your word and go to church. And that's really what my relationship with you looks like. Church, I tell you where he's calling us. He actually wants our whole heart. And not just in a place of mind, knowledge, but actually experiencing. That's what we do with our heart. Is we just, with your head, you understand. But it's with your heart that you experience and you engage. And I believe that God, no matter how well you've known him thus far, I believe he's calling us in and saying, I have something fresh for you. I have something fresh. And what would our lives look like if we are enamored with God's love? Like, what would look different? Would something look different in your home? Would you feel different when you looked in the mirror? If you had his love and his narrative on your life and you actually knew what it felt like, I believe that everything would change in our lives. I'm so inspired by David, Psalms 34, verse 8. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. This was a man after God's own heart, but I love it because he receives and he engages. He says, taste and see. How much have you tasted of God? I just want to tell you, there's more. There's more. Is his love good? Yes. Do you know how good? Even better than you think. What if you had even more of that? I tell you, it will rearrange our lives. That how you show up to work tomorrow, you're going to be a different human. And even your story's not going to change. But you know what's crazy? Is God's love is so good. I've seen it go before me. I've seen it completely change my present. And even go in my past. His love is that good. Meaning even when I look back, it's not full of pain. What I see is his faithfulness and his love and his guidance in my life. Thank you, God, for your love today. He's pouring out something fresh. And his thing about his love is it's consuming. And that's why I reference it back to even some of my experiences, my deeper experiences with love and relationship. Because when we are in passionate love, like it's a consuming thing. It's not just like, oh yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. No, I'm like, I actually forgot what direction I was going. Because I was so consumed with one thing. Then we won't get distracted by the wrong things. This is huge for us to know his love. I believe it's in that space too, that the things that are distracting, that we've become consumed with, or even that's taking up our time, will begin. That's where the reorientation takes place as we become full of his love, full of what he's pouring out, full of his spirit, that we will be about the right things in life. I believe there are things today that need to be adjusted. Do you know the Bible refers to God as a consuming fire? There's multiple places that he's a consuming fire. And the thing about fire is that it's very powerful. We're talking about love and fire. Those are very powerful things. One in the physical. Love can be physical, but it's something that is very internal as well. Hebrews 12:29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. saying it's part of his nature. And we, fire needs heat, oxygen, and fuel to continue. And we just had our Table Rock complex fire that, thank God, is all 100% contained, is behind us. Super scary for South Carolina. But what was interesting, I thought was interesting about this, is we had the hurricane in the fall. And I went there a week before, I went to Table Rock a week before the fires, and there were so many downed trees just laying there. And they were just kind of dried out, rotting, and the conditions were just perfect for a fire here because you had a drier air. We hadn't had rain for a while. We had a devastation from the fall that left all these downed trees that were getting dried out, and they were just extra fuel. We also had a lot of wind during that time. And then there were some guys, they said allegedly, with their cigarettes, that's what initiated it. But I look at just the conditions and what happened. And what's interesting is the fire burned 15,000 acres. But do you know that it also, as it burned, it cleaned up a lot of the debris that came from the devastation we had in the fall? So it's so interesting. It also said that a lot of the trees that were really moist or had more water content, that they didn't get burned up. And so I think about the fire of God and his love. And when we get consumed in that place, do you know what gets burned up? The things that are left over from previous devastations and traumas that don't need to be there anymore. And they're actually causing more damage than they are good. And the things that are rooted in him and in his love and in water are just going to get stronger. So, church, we want more of the fire of God in his love, not just in our head, but in our heart, to be experienced, to be tasted, to be seen. Thank you, Lord, for more of your love. The closer we get to a holy God, the more inappropriate some of the other things in our life become. I know that there's things in our lives that maybe we're okay in another season, but they're not okay anymore because of where God has brought us. But I tell you, for where we're going, I want to let you know that it's absurd where we're going. You will be unrecognizable. And I say it's you, but it's also the church. As you know, the church as it is, what would a church look like drenched in his love? That's what God has for us. Today's an opportunity to examine our hearts. Like, what better time than today to always examine our hearts? I love David. He was a man after God's own heart. But it's because the way that he loved, the level of honesty, I mean, the Psalms are all over the place with emotion. But I love that he didn't just hide from God. He came in, and Psalms 51 is David's repentance chapter. And I read it and I'm inspired. And I want to share it just even as a pathway and a guide for us. Psalms 51, and we'll jump around a little bit. Verse 1-3 first says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." See, I love it because David knew God as well. If you know him, there's no reason to run from him. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me to know wisdom." I love this because sometimes stuff gets so scary for us, we can't even acknowledge it. But to have the courage to come before the Lord our Maker to acknowledge all that is such a beautiful, courageous thing. And then in verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Today is a beautiful opportunity as we're talking about God's love, as we're giving him our all, to invite him into every space. The stuff that is like you're really proud of, but also the stuff that maybe isn't completely worked out yet. Because we're all on a journey to healing, all on a journey to wholeness. A great opportunity to come before God, be inspired by David, but also bringing ourselves. Because see, what happens is we know that sin entangles and sin traps, but no one's immune from sin. And I just feel like with all the things that we're navigating and coming at us, that it's so fast that temptation and sin just comes knocking on the door. And we all get a choice, like, okay, what are we going to do when we feel it knocking? What happens when we get hurt by somebody and they do something wrong? I guarantee you someone in this room is going to hurt you or disappoint you, because no one here is perfect. And as much as we love community and we're sending Greg out, we're supporting Greg, that community is, we need that to step into everything that God's called us to be. But it's that same community that will give us the opportunities to grow and work through. What does it look like to work through pain? What does it look like to work through fear? Because no one's perfect around us. So we need more of love so that we can walk in this space. When I was younger, I was, in my family, I was the youngest of my, with my sister, I was the youngest. And then in my cousin, my group of cousins, I was the youngest in that group. And so I was also a bit antagonizing as the youngest, you know, doing things you probably shouldn't do. And then you just run really fast because you're not the strongest or the fastest. You have to get away if you do something not good. And so I have lots of experiences. And I remember running. You would run as fast as you can. And if you're at a house, you just have to do the best you can. If you can get there and shut the door all the way, you're fine, because I can put my foot there and they cannot budge the door. But if you're running and you do not shut the door all the way before they get there and they put their foot in the door, it's just over. Game over. Like, whatever you want to do to me, like, have your way. Jump on me, tickle me, whatever, till I pee my pants. I mean, it's whatever, whatever it is. But there's something about the door, and I think it's funny, it's so interesting, that Ephesians 4:25, it says, and do not give the devil a foothold, it says in verse 27. And there's something about that foothold that is really important, that we have to make sure all the doors are shut. Because I tell you, stuff is gonna come against you. Stuff is gonna come at you. God never says that stuff isn't gonna come against you. But I love that no weapon formed against me should prosper. I mean, I believe there's places we should stand, but we can help ourselves out by just shutting the door. And what does that look like when you're hurt? Do not continue to entertain. Oh, I'm hurt. I'm so hurt. I can't believe what they did. Because we get a choice. Mind you, that's the biggest thing that we can steward is our choice. In that space of pain, how fast do we come to God? And how fast are we just to sit in it? But let's just sit in a little bit longer. Maybe play some moody music. Like, it's just nice to kind of feel, ooh, all the feels. Feelings are good. It's emotional health. I'm like, oh, be careful. Because in that space, you didn't shut a door. You actually left it wide open for offense to come in, bitterness to grow, and then you're wondering why you're so confused. So church, I tell you, this is so practical, but so important to be engaged with our head, but also our heart. And this is a great opportunity for us whenever, actually every day, but whenever we know that God is highlighting this, it's just like, yep, come on. I want to be so fast to come to the Lord that there wouldn't be spaces for me to leave open doors to get messed with. Because Satan can only mess with us as much as we give him opportunity and open doors in our lives. If Jeffrey's here, I'd love for you to get on the keys, please. I would love to, and as I'm closing today, just to give us an opportunity to engage with this. And this is more for everyone individually than it is for me to know or anyone else around you to know. I believe that it's a significant strategic time right now, that God's drawing us, that he's inviting us. He gives the gift of his Holy Spirit, but I do believe a response is important. We get the opportunity to choose, and God honors that. And so even today, as I've talked about just wholeness of heart, being completely in love and knowing God in every place, I want to ask you, what will you give your attention toward, and what will you partner with? Because whatever that is, it will affect everything. They will affect who you are and who you become. And there is something about purity. The Lord is purifying his church. He's purifying his bride so that we could look like him. That when people encounter us, they encounter him. He's making his bride beautiful. And we get to be a part of that if we choose to. I love backpacking in Northern California. There's beautiful mountains called the Trinity Alps, and we backpack into lakes. There's lots of lakes up there, and a lot of them have like granite faces. They're just beautiful. They stock them with fish. And the thing that is unique about their lakes is they're all extremely clear. Like you can go walk and you can just see the fish just swimming in the lakes. And I always wonder, like, what is it that's so, how are they so clear? Do you know there's a lot less pollution up there? There's not a lot of people. It's just a lot of natural things in nature. It's very pure up there. Because where things are pure, there's a lot of clarity. And I believe today that the Lord wants to clear out some clutter in our lives. That there's things that we're carrying around that we don't need to be. And sometimes we just get so used to carrying around, it actually makes us feel comfortable. I'm just the hurt one over here. Or I was rejected over here. I'm like, you were, but you actually have a choice. You're not anymore. So today I want to invite you. We're going to pray. But I just want to invite you, if there's anything in your life that's even that the Lord's speaking to you about that you have been carrying or that you want to invite him into, I believe there's never any better time than the present to invite him in, to repent. If there's anything that's between you and God, that's sin is anything between us and God, anything that doesn't please him. And it doesn't need to be a shame thing. It's just, oh gosh, I have been carrying that, Lord. I do have an offense against someone. And you know how you can tell if you have an offense? You just replay it over and over. You have a narrative in your head and your story in your head every time that situation comes up. You're like, well, how do I ever let go of it? I'm going to have to forgive. Yep, I acknowledge that hurt me and I forgive and I will not carry that around anymore. I give you to God. So we're going to pray. I love Matthew 5:8 says, blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to pray over anyone who wants a clean heart and needs to clear out the clutter. So, Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you that your love's extravagant, that it's absurd what it does to us. Yeah, and that it can heal anything. Yeah, there's nothing like your love. And I invite your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us in truth and that you would help us not to only be connected to our mind and our heads, but also be connected to our hearts. And I bless our hearts to be present. Lord, we just ask you if there's anything in our lives, any clutter, anything that needs to be cleaned out, even as I'm talking, that comes to mind. Yeah, we want to be so fast to come to you and run to you. Yeah, Lord, and I also pray for the gift of repentance, that we would be also so good at turning away from things that have come to kill, steal, and destroy and turning to you in every space of our life. How we choose today not to partner with shame, but the truth of your love and what you say about us.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.